Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. So the reading that was read earlier. So it's on page 989 in the church Bibles. So Matthew 21, verse 18, on page 989. And since it's so short, we'll just read it again. That goes with you ringing in your ears when you leave, because it's the important bit. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Okay, let's just quickly pray. Father, we pray that you would help us as we consider this portion of your word. We pray that you'd speak to us clearly, each and every one, and bless us as you work by your Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't know if you've ever completely and utterly misread a situation. This week, my 83-year-old mother, some of you know her, was contacted by a local builder who phoned her up and said, there's a leak coming from your overflow tank. If you want, I can send round a builder or a plumber rather, and he can fix it for you. You know, you have to pay him, but he'll fix it. Anyway, my mother was a little bit suspicious, a little bit concerned, and she went round and had a look at this overflow pipe, and both her and the tenant were looking at this water gushing out from this wall right by the builder's bathroom window. And they were both thinking, really, you know, this looks like it's coming from his house. I think he's taking advantage of an 83-year-old woman to pay for work that he needs done. And he's just trying to pull a fast one. So I came round. I think I came to the same conclusion. But I thought, before I ring him and vent my indignation in a hopefully godly way, I thought I better just go and check in the attic. So up I went. Sure enough, right over at the back in the corner from the overflow from my mother's tank, it was just gushing out. We'd completely and utterly misread the situation, cast suspicions where they shouldn't have been cast. And thankfully, the disciples are exactly the same. You know, they did the same. Do you remember when they were sailing across the Lake of Galilee on this boat, and Jesus said to them, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And there they were thinking, "Wait a minute, it's because we've forgotten bread." You know, they didn't have a clue as well. They got the situation completely wrong. Jesus was warning them against pride, but they thought it was about bread. Well, this passage regularly gets completely misunderstood. A family member of mine came to a Christianity Explored course where we're in that room over there looking at Mark, and we came to this very passage in Mark, and he couldn't get past it. He just couldn't stop thinking about anything about this. Why did he have to take it out on this poor little fig tree? The fig tree hadn't done anything wrong. He thought it was like a fit of pique rage because he was hungry and there was no fruit on this fig tree, so he's going to curse the fig tree. Well, that is completely wrong. This is a wonderful, rich miracle from Jesus, which teaches us two object lessons. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage. And the two lessons summed up are these. And there's only 2 points, and they're very brief this evening. Firstly, beware hypocrisy. And secondly, believe in the power of faithful prayer. So beware hypocrisy and believe in the power of faithful prayer. So let's just start off. This is the longest point. Beware hypocrisy. Why does it mean that? Well, Mark's account of this event tells us that although it wasn't the season for figs, the tree was in leaf. And now fig leaves are apparently, they occur at roughly the same time that the fruit appears. And so the leaves on this fig tree were sort of shouting out, I've got fruit. And Jesus, being hungry, approached it, but finds out that the advert is false. You've heard of fake news. This is fake advertising from this fig tree. There was no fruit to be had. So Jesus curses the fig tree. But why? What does that mean? Well, it's no coincidence that Mark's account of the fig tree is wrapped around the cleansing of the temple. You remember when Jesus went into the temple and drove the money changers and all these hypocrites out with a whip, and they're driven out of God's temple, which was meant to be a house of prayer, and that they had turned it into a den of robbers. And it's also no coincidence that Matthew has this account of the fig tree straight after the cleansing of the temple, but just before Jesus is challenged over his authority by the hypocritical religious leaders of the day. It's all about hypocrisy. Outward promise and goodness, but inward wickedness or emptiness, barrenness. So the fig tree, full of leaves but barren of fruit, provides us with this striking emblem of hypocrisy. The Jewish religious leaders of that day had everything to make an outward show, didn't they? We know about these people. We've read about them often enough. We know about the temple. We know about the priesthood. We know about their public prayers that were filled with ostentation and very lengthy. We know about the Old Testament that they had and the morning and evening sacrifices. They had all these outward signs of godliness. But beneath these godly leaves, the Jewish religious leaders of the day were completely spiritually destitute. They had no grace, they had no faith, no love, no humility. They had no true spirituality, no real holiness, no willingness to receive the Son of God, their own Messiah. Had no desire to accept him at all. In fact, they were filled with envy. So like the fig tree, hypocrites have this curse hanging over them. Their barrenness will one day lead to judgment and hell unless something changes. The fact that this is such a strong theme in Matthew's gospel is clear. You look at Matthew 6 when Jesus said, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And in Matthew 23, just after what's before us this evening, we read, woe to you teachers, where Jesus tells them directly, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness, falseness, pretense. So leaves without fruit is worthless. Bustling religious activity, regular church attendance, without a sincere love for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, without the working of his Spirit in your heart, giving you that heartfelt love for him, leads straight to hell. Without knowing Jesus, we are without hope. And all the pretense will one day, the facade will be brought down. So the application for any churchgoer who is not truly trusting in Jesus Christ, someone who is only outwardly a Christian, is clear. You know, you're in terrible danger of becoming a withered fig tree, of walking under God's curse. You know, turn away, if this is you, turn away from empty religious activity. You know, you may fool others, but you cannot fool God, who sees all. He hears your innermost thoughts. He sees the lack of any sincere love for the Son that he sent to die upon a cross for your sins. He sees whether or not you have sincere love for him or none at all. Come to Jesus for the forgiveness that you need. You know, all is not lost. Even if you are someone who's been faking it maybe for years, even if you are in that desperate state, then you can still come to Jesus. There is no sin which is too dark, no pretense which is too entrenched that he cannot forgive in its entirety. If you will come to him for the cleansing you need, for the forgiveness that you need. You know, without saving faith, all of your religiosity, your prayers, your charity giving, you've heard it before, every religious duty you ever perform is worthless. It is as filthy rags or as barren leaves. You know, but faith in Christ washes away all sin. So come clean about lies or evil thoughts, whatever it is that has been going on in your life, and come to Jesus. Believe in him and you'll be saved. You know, as long as you're satisfied with the mere leaves of religion, a form of godliness without any power at all, then your soul is in great peril. That is the message of the withered fig tree. But also, what about for those of you who are Christians here this evening? What's the message of the withered fig tree to you? You know, those of you who are both outwardly Christians, but you're also inwardly Christians. You really do love Jesus. You really do know him. You've come to faith in him. Well, perhaps you need to have your feet washed. You know, have you slipped into hypocrisy? Have you slipped into pride? Is your loving service of other people, whether it be in the church or outside, conditional upon their praise for you and their admiration of your service? So that when you don't get that praise and gratitude or thankfulness, then there's a kind of bitterness starts gnarling away at you as your love is conditional. You know, that's slipping, isn't it, into a falseness. Has your love for Jesus Christ grown cold, even over a period of years? Has it started to be the way that when you sing hymns together in corporate worship, that your mind is elsewhere on something altogether different? That when you pray, you're just reeling off the sort of pat phrases that you've been used to reeling off, and the sincerity has drifted and fallen away? You know, when you read the Bible, are you no longer, as you once were, humbly hanging on every last word that is as a word from heaven straight to you that thrills your heart? Is it that you know you've got to read your four chapters today? Kind of sense of empty duty. When you share the bread and the wine with your brothers and sisters, are you really still in awe that the Son of God should have given up his blood and his body on a cross for you? Are you still in awe of the love of Jesus for you, displayed in technicolor on the cross when you share the bread and the wine? Or is your mind elsewhere? Do you get the general idea? You know, we can, even as people who belong to him, who love him, those who trust in him, in the innermost depths of our being, we have the crown jewels, yet we can still slip and come to a point where we need to be woken up and come to him afresh, just not for a bath. Peter didn't need a bath, did he? Jesus told him, but his feet needed to be washed. Do you need to come to have your feet washed? And, you know, the wonderful good news in that is that when you do, you find that it is all washed away and Jesus' love for you hasn't gone, hasn't subsided. The wonder of his love for you was there all along, and he was drawing you back to himself the whole time. So come to Jesus for the washing of the feet if you need it as a believer. But that leads quite nicely onto the second and much shorter point this evening, which is this. We need to believe in the power of faithful prayer. You listen to verse 20 and 21 again. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Now again, just as with the misreading of the overflow pipe, this one's another one where you can slip into all kinds of strange and wacky areas of belief in the Christian church. This passage beautifully, absolutely beautifully, tells us about the power and nature of faith. You know, faith is the certainty of what we don't see, the relying completely upon the goodness of God that doesn't involve doubt. You know, a believer is someone who really, truly knows Jesus, the risen King of kings and Lord of lords. There's someone who knows because the power of God's Spirit meant that at some point the word came to them, not just in word only, but in power. And they believed and were saved. They know Jesus and they know his power. So that when we pray, we read in Ephesians 3:12, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So what are these mistakes that can sometimes come from particularly these words? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Well, the first mistake is to think that Christ is giving loose rein to the wishes of Christians, whatever those wishes might be. Should you desire anything at all, just ask God and you get it. It's like God is this kind of cosmic slot machine. Whatever we want, we just ask in prayer and it's given. You know, even if that request does not align with the will of God, well, clearly that is not what this is saying. You know, what about the person who says, "Wait a minute, I've been ill and I've prayed believing that I'd be healed, but I wasn't healed." What about that person? Well, imagine a pupil in a school hearing his teacher say, you know, if you work hard, this time of year, you often hear a lot of this in schools, if you work hard, you're going to get good exam results. So in response, he goes and gets a job in McDonald's, does the gardening for his parents, tidies his room meticulously, and so on and so forth, and then he fails his exams. You know, would he be justified in turning around to his teacher and say, "You lied. Your promise wasn't true. You know, I worked really hard, but I didn't get a good exam results." No, he's clearly misunderstood the nature of the promise. He's misunderstood what's being said by work. He's misunderstood the nature of the promise. You know, similarly, a Christian who repeatedly says to themselves, I believe I'm going to be healed. I believe I'm going to be healed. I'm work myself up. I believe, I really do believe I'm going to be healed. But then doesn't get healed. You know, are they justified in going back to Jesus and saying he didn't keep his word, that if you believe, you will get whatever you ask for in prayer? Of course not. They have misunderstood what is meant by faithful prayer. You know, faith isn't forcing yourself into a state of hyperbelief so that you have the power to treat God as I say, this cosmic slot machine. That's not what we're talking about here, what Jesus is talking about. Faith is knowing Christ by God's grace and through the powerful working of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's word so that you can pray all the promises of Scripture, for example, and receive whatever you ask. If you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, you'll have your prayer answered. That's aligned with the will of God. You can be assured of that. If you pray, Lord, prepare a place for me in heaven as a Christian, if you're praying this, and then, Lord, please come again and take me to be with you where you are, that I may be with you for eternity. My dear friends, your prayer will be answered. It aligns with the will of God for all who trust in his Son. If you pray, Lord, you know what I need. And just as a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, Lord, you know I need your Spirit. Please fill me with your Spirit that I may walk in your ways and live in a way that is pleasing to you. Then, friends, your prayers will be answered. You will have what you're asking for. However, if you pray for things beyond the promises of Scripture, then you need to pray with humility. You know, perhaps you've rightly understood the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life, who is prompting you to pray for a certain thing, and you do receive that thing. That's possible, but maybe, just maybe, because we're still this side of glory, and we're still imperfect, just maybe you're conflating what you want to happen with God's will for you. And that can happen and can lead to all kinds of disappointment if your prayer isn't answered in the way that you wish. If Jesus prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If the Son of God had to pray with that humility, then how much more do you and I, when we're praying beyond the promises of God's word? So, just in conclusion, I mean, just as it's a mistake to believe that Jesus will give you whatever you ask for in prayer, even when it's not aligned with the will of God, so it's a mistake to minimize the force of what he is saying here. You know, both in the physical and in the spiritual sphere, the apostles had already been doing things that would have been considered just as impossible as moving a mountain into the sea. Peter had walked on water by faith. The 12 had said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And the entire book of Acts proves that what Jesus said here is true, that you know, nothing is impossible for God. So yes, we pray humbly, but we also pray boldly as well, knowing that we're coming to a God for whom nothing is impossible. You know, what a great impetus to pray, if ever there was one, that God answers faithful prayer. So beware hypocrisy and believe in the power of faithful prayer. Should we turn to him in prayer now? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to beware hypocrisy in our own lives. Help us not to put on a show and be false in the way we are in corporate worship together, but completely different at other times. Lord, you know our innermost being. There is nothing hidden from you, Father. And Lord, you know when we're faking it and when we're walking in step with your Spirit. Lord, help us, we pray, to be people of integrity and honesty and pure in your sight. Help us, we pray, fill us with your Spirit that we may be more like Jesus in this. And Lord, we also pray that you'd bless us in our prayer lives. We pray that you'd help us to value the privilege and joy of being able to speak to you, even as we do now, in faithful prayer, knowing that we come to you in and through the name of Jesus, who has washed away our sins, so that we can come boldly before your throne. Lord, we pray that you would help each and every one here this evening to speak to you daily, regularly, in faith. Lord, we ask these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.